everybody. This is Maggie. You know, Barack Obama wants to redistribute the wealth. Well, I disagree. I think you need to earn what you get in life. So join me, because I'm going to be redistributing the truth, one word at a time, on the Unsolicited Opinion, here on KHNC 1360.
You debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic, and we should stand up and say we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
Hey everybody, this is Maggie and welcome to the Unsolicited Opinion. How you doing today? I'll tell you, it's great life if you don't weaken. Now I hope everybody had a wonderful Easter holiday, and I noticed, as which many of you may have noticed as well, that BO didn't feel it was necessary to make any type of comment about the Easter holiday, which of course is a very significant day for those who happen to be Christian in the world. And BO, who claims that he is a Christian, Barack Hussein Obama, he claims he is a Christian, yet he didn't feel it was necessary to make any type of comment whatsoever, really, to draw any attention to the fact that Sunday happened to be a very significant day for Christians in the world. So I kind of find that interesting, because you would think that the commander-in-chief, the leader of this nation that is predominantly a Christian nation, founded on Judeo-Christian ideals, right? You would think that that person would make some kind of a comment, you know, draw a little attention to the day. Don't you think? I mean, he commented a lot about Earth Day, and he comments a lot about a lot of other things that are really meaningless, tripe, but he doesn't feel it's necessary to comment on Easter. And that really is rather telling, I think, anyway. But, hey, that's just me. And I'm just the Unsolicited Opinion. So what do I know, right? I don't know, but I think it's kind of a slap in the face to the Christians of the world. But then, you know, let's not let actions get in the way of words, right? Don't actions sometimes speak louder than words? I don't know. That's what I was always taught. I don't know. Maybe it's that way with this as well. I don't know. What do you think? You decide. That's the question. Do you think the fact that B.O. didn't feel it was necessary to draw any attention whatsoever to the Christian holiday of Easter, so significant as it is, do you think that means something? So you mull that around a little bit, and maybe tomorrow somebody will call in, or maybe later today somebody will call in and give me their unsolicited opinion. Now listen, if you want to call into this show today, and I've got a great guest lined up who I will be bringing on after the first break, the number is 877-254-7524, 877-254-7524, and of course my website, three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com, theunsolicitedopinion.com. Go there, lots of great information. You really need to check it out. And if you want to contact me, you can do that. There's a contact button on my website. Now listen, I say this every week, I'm always looking for advertisers and sponsors, and I'm actually going to start to make a concerted effort to try to drum up some advertisers out there in your area where this radio show is heard. But since I'm a procrastinator, I procrastinate with that as well as many other things in my life. But if you want to get in contact with me, please do so, and I can hook you up with the people on KHNC 1360 who can make that happen for you. So sponsors, advertisers, contact me through my website, theunsolicitedopinion.com. Phone number for this radio show, 877-254-7524. Now, on my website, actually, I have one of those little I don't know, gadgets, I can't think what it's called, officially what it's called, that draws information from a lot of different websites and congregates it into one location. So anyway, I saw this thing about sustainable development actually in the Denver Post, and I thought that this was kind of interesting, so I wanted to comment on it quickly because I only have a couple minutes before the break. But it was talking about how they're going to do some high density development that includes residents, retail, and office space will sprout up between two of the region's most prominent light rail stations. So now they'll be able to build up to 10 million square feet of space on about 75 acres, and that will also include more than 3,000 residences, 350 hotel rooms, 2.6 million square feet of office space, and 1.2 million square feet of retail and 200,000 square feet of educational space. So this is their vision. The vision calls for, they claim. And I'm just curious whose vision it was, because most of the time this visioning that's taking place around the country, it's not really a grand vision, actually, even though some of the people who I noticed comment on that, they all have the same collective ideology when it comes to packing everybody in this high density developments that will actually be built by light rail stations. Now, won't that be grand? Don't you want to live right next to the railroad tracks? I know a lot of people in the United States, they aspire to live next to the railroad tracks because that's just like the optimum location. Isn't it? I mean, I want to live next to a railroad track, and I'm really disappointed that I don't. I'd like one about 10 feet from my bedroom, personally. You know, then you'd be able to get the rocking and rolling action from the trains as they whiz by on those rails. Wouldn't that be nice? It's like living next to the L here in Philadelphia. You know, five feet out your window, you can hear the L rumble by in the middle of the night. Yeah, it'll be a wonderful thing. It says people in the neighborhoods near the site were involved in the process. I wonder how many people actually were involved in the process for both the Alameda Station Plan and the General Development Plan. So I wonder, all of you in Denver, how many of you actually had a say in what it is they plan to do? I wonder. That should be rather interesting. I'd like some people who were involved in this planning process for this pack-and-stack housing. Let's see, 3,000 residences on 75 acres. Well, that'll be a little bit of a confined living space, don't you think? Little sardine can action going on? And then one of the comments in this article is how people started to recognize the benefits of public transportation. I don't know, but it seems to me what happens with public transportation is it needs the taxpayers to fund it and subsidize it because they don't make enough money to function independently on their own. So public transportation only works because the taxpayers are paying for it. So listen, everybody, we're going to break. This is Maggie. You're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion, and we will be right back. So hang in there.
We're talking today with Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb. Tom, what makes The Green Herb different?
First is our health analysis. I know of no other company that will take the time necessary to suggest an in-depth herbal program especially for you. And we do it at no charge or obligation. Also, we manufacture all of our products right in the Wheat Ridge facilities. This way we can assure you that you're getting the highest quality products available. Last is our guarantee. If you don't think our products are the finest, most potent herbal products available, just return the bottle and we'll exchange it or refund your purchase price. We can do the analysis at The Green Herb, over the phone, or online at www.thegreenherb.com. Call today and set an appointment for your free health profile at 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or come by our store on the north side of I-70 Frontage Road, 1 mile west of Kipling.
Just a good old boy.
Hi, I'm Eric Cedarstrup. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group. And in that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country, most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Making your way the only way they know how.
Hey everybody, this is Maggie and you're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. And of course, if you want to call into the show, the number is 877-254-7524, 877-254-7524. And if you'd like to get in contact with me, there's a contact button on my website, which is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com, theunsolicitedopinion.com. And of course, you can listen to my show replayed if you miss it. There's podcasts on my web, but it's replayed on NetTalk World, and you can hear me via TalkStream Live. So, and of course, you can go to this website for this radio station, AmericanNewsNet.com. So now, just a couple more things I wanted to mention briefly, and then I'm going to bring my great guest on. I just wanted to comment. There was one of the things in this article I was reading about transportation game plan they've got there in Denver is they mentioned that we're at the point we've moved the first pawns on the board. And I thought, boy, isn't that a true statement, the pawns. The poor pawns, though, are the people, the tax-paying citizens who are going to be the ones who get rooked in this deal, that's for sure. They're not going to be they're not going to be the kings and queens. They will definitely be the pawns in this whole game. Now, I want to welcome my guest to the show. His name is Preston Fleming, and he is a novelist, and he is the author of the Kamas trilogy, 40 Days at Kamas. He's also written a book entitled Star Chamber Brotherhood and I'll Die Later. Preston is a former tax attorney, and he's a former U.S. diplomat. So welcome to the show, Preston. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Maggie. Happy to be on.
Thank you. So tell me, let's talk a little bit first about your book, 40 Days at Kamas. What inspired you to write this book? Give us a little idea of the theme of the book.
Well, I wrote 40 Days at Kamas back before 9/11.
Okay.
And I was living in a place I really loved and doing work I enjoyed. But I had a sense that things might not continue as the way that we were led to believe, that somehow in the future we'd see the Dow at 30,000 and we'd see high tech everywhere, and we'd have lots of leisure time and prosperity. I just didn't see that that's where we were headed. So I had a different vision of America. I thought, what if instead of American democracy, we had American tyranny? And instead of our current prosperity, we had, a very serious economic, depression. And continuation of wars, and essentially a major setback. And I thought, well, history moves in cycles, and that I felt that we were at the end of a cycle. So I had this vision, and when I was around that time, I had read Gulag Archipelago by Solzhenitsyn. And in the third volume, there's a story of a corrective labor camp revolt in the Gulag in 1953, just after Stalin's death. This was unprecedented because no one had dared to revolt before then while Stalin was alive. And I took that germ of a story and I transposed it to a future America where we actually had corrective labor camps after a series of disasters that led to this tyranny. And so I thought this is what we could have here if we don't watch out. And I thought, you know, Americans aren't unique in the world. It's not just the Germans and the Russians and the Chinese that are capable of having camps and having tyrannies. Around the world throughout history, human beings have had both periods of freedom and periods of fear. And so my concern was that that America could be headed for the period of a fear society. And of course, none of us want that to happen. But we have to use our free will, both individually and collectively, to make sure that we aren't on that path. And
well,
through fiction,
you know,
I try to show what that's like.
Well, you know what, honestly, Preston, I happen to think that we're in this fear society right now. I think there's a lot of Americans who are recognizing that there's something intrinsically wrong with what's going on in this country, and there has been something wrong with what's been going on in this country for a very long time. It didn't just occur on November 4th in 2008 when B.O. was elected to the presidency. It has been occurring over time for a very long time, and I think I'm going to guess anyway, that's probably what kind of gave you the inkling. I think there's a lot of Americans who recognize there's something dreadfully wrong going on in this country, and we do live with more fear, and that the so-called the American dream, which we've all desired so immensely, is fading rapidly from our sight.
You know, I agree with you. You know, I didn't always feel this way, Maggie. I've even back in 2000 when I wrote to 40 Days of Camus, I felt that we basically had pretty good leadership, but that and I didn't see what I see now as how far things have gone out of control. But by and large, you know, in my history, I've been in business, I've been in the law, I've been in government, and I've always been a fan of American business. But what's changed, Maggie, and this is part of the fear of society, what's changed is that 20, 30 years ago, American businessmen focused on making a product that people could afford at a good price that was useful. Today, many American businesses, especially the larger ones, are focusing on how they can grab at the federal pile of money, either through a subsidy, through tax a relief, through a rule against or a tariff against their competitors, or some kind of rent-seeking activity that gives them a free ride. And I think part of this, you know, I don't believe conspiracies. If I seek incompetence or ignorance, you know, I choose to believe that instead of conspiracy. Well, we have a number of factors in motion, and I see in business there's been this consolidation going on over the last 20, 30 years. And let's take a benign area, the retailers. I've been involved in the business that is involved in selling to mass market retailers like chain drug stores, chain food stores, and mass marketers. And over the last 10 or 20 years, there are fewer and fewer chains because they've been bought up by the larger ones. And so now if you want to sell a product into a chain drugstore, there are really only a few out there you go to that represent a large portion of the volume. And that means they have enormous power. The same thing goes on, though, in finance. The big banks have bought the small ones. In big pharma, big companies have bought the small pharma companies. And throughout big media has bought small media. It goes on and on. So we have these large entities run by people who are trying to run the numbers. And what's being lost is things like quality of life, jobs, concern for the little guy, and so on. So I think this is not necessarily a conspiracy driven by a cabal of hidden people. This is the end of a cycle where this consolidation activity is now leading us to essentially a period of entropy where what's large, it becomes unstable and unsustainable.
Well, I don't think that conspiracy theories are all theories, Preston. I think that a lot of times they are based upon facts, and they are called theories only because it's a great way to keep people's eye off of what it is people are doing, because then they claim that, oh, well, you're wearing a tinfoil hat or something like that. But we certainly know how well fascism works when governments partner with businesses to achieve their objective with public-private partnerships. So I certainly agree with you that there are a lot of corporations that are at the public trough getting fat and happy with our tax dollars, and that it certainly doesn't always benefit us. I mean, look, at the perfect example is General Electric. They paid no taxes. You know, and we know
right.
that the CEO of GE, Jeffrey Immelt, happens to be in bed with Michelle Obama and BO. So, you know, conspiracy theory? No, I don't think so. I'd have to say that was a fact. So,
well, you know, I think that we have a burden of proof to sustain when we try to ascribe motives. I'm not a psychic, and I'm not a mind reader. So when I see people who throughout their careers have had a lot of achievement, but when I see them misbehaving, I try to say, well, this wasn't, you know, a person who started out being evil because they wouldn't have gotten to where they were. They wouldn't have gotten through all of those steps dealing with people unless they had done some good things. But when I see them in power, oftentimes, you know, I have to remember that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. The higher they get, the more choices they make that are geared toward consolidating their gains and toward gaining power, I think that they go off the rails. So I think what I see is a series of patterns where people are moving in the same direction because they have the same incentives or the same drivers, and they may not even be doing these things consciously, but the end result for the rest of us is that we have to come and seize back our power because it's being taken away from us.
Well, I agree, and I don't know, Preston, I happen to think that a lot of people who are making decisions are very cognizant of the decisions that they're making. I remember reading something about John D. Rockefeller Sr., who made a statement that competition was a sin, and he thought that the best way for him to achieve his objectives and beat his competitors was to buy the politicians, and by extension, he would then own the government because he would be able to have the politicians create laws that benefited him and penalized his competitors. So I think that a lot of these people, these players, are very aware of what they're doing, and it isn't just benign. I think it is certainly by design. But
certainly we have a case where now, and this is going back to these incentives, today in government, you know, who would pay millions of dollars to get a job that's worth $100,000? But we have politicians all over the country paying millions of dollars seeking these positions, whether it's the federal government or state government, because once they get there, they've achieved the jackpot. They're essentially doling out taxpayers' money, and that power gives them essentially an income for life.
Oh, yeah.
But this again is not necessarily that they go out seeking to do evil. They have their own motives. Everyone wants to be, at least in government, when I experience it, is that so many people go in thinking they're going to be a player. Their policies, their ideas are going to be respected and be part of the future of America. So they, many times they really believe they're doing good, but the end result is that they keep on compromising and compromising. After a while, they forget those principles, and they're just buying and selling influence at a larger scale.
Yeah, well, they're corrupt. And they know what they're doing is corrupt.
I don't know, maybe you're more altruistic
than I am, Preston. I just don't think that a lot of these people are as virtuous as they are just innocently doing these things, and they're just victims of circumstances. I think they're creating the circumstances, and by, like you mentioned, they're spending tons and tons and tons of money to get elected to a position that pays $170,000 or $2.25 a year or whatever it might be, but it's certainly not a multi-million dollar position. And it's interesting how a lot of these politicians go in there, and they're just an average Joe with, say, maybe $200,000 in the bank, and then when they walk out at the end of the game, they're worth millions of dollars. I'd like to know how you turn $200,000 into millions of dollars. That's rather an interesting feat to me. But anyway,
This is the process of, and I think we agree on the end result. We agree at the facts we see, but we disagree a little bit about the process. And I think there's room for reasonable people to disagree based on what they see and what they experience. We see people who now the pile of power in Washington is so large that it's beyond the power for anyone to control it. We're at the point where either we tell the government, here's how much you can live on and here's what powers you have, and leave us alone the rest of the time, or else the government's going to be telling us, here's how much you can keep and here's what you can do on your own, otherwise we call the shots.
Well,
we're very close to that tipping point if we haven't already reached it. And I'm afraid that the chances for reform at this point are getting more and more remote because there are so many people on the take at every level of society. It's not just the people who would lose their Social Security payments or their SSI or their disability or their welfare payments or their food stamps. It's all the people losing their farm subsidies, losing their losing their government contract, losing their the government rules in favor of their business, the tariffs protection. I'm afraid there's so many people sucking at the tit of government that those who are paying the bills are now their power is being dwarfed, and this is basically our last chance in the next 3 or 4 years to stem that tide. Or I've got this scheme of this concept of the five stages to tyranny, and I believe we are now in the third stage, and that once it gets to the fourth stage of crisis, either you have a step toward tyranny, or you have essentially a breakdown of government, And so either we're going to have a collapse and a, let's say, a liquidation or bankruptcy of our federal government, a breakup, which might be denied.
Preston, hang on. Hold that thought. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back. Hang on, everybody. This is the Unsolicited Opinion, and we will be right back.
Whether you already know essential oils are valued for their ancient wisdom and wellness, or you're considering their use as a viable, non-toxic, healthy alternative, your question should be the same. Are all essential oils certified pure therapeutic grade? Who makes the highest quality essential oils available? Do all test for safety and meet rigorous standards? Can all oils pass the scrutiny of health professionals and scientists? Many essential oils don't meet these standards, so ask one more question. Where can I find the most powerful, reasonably priced, certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils? doTERRA, gift of the earth. doTERRA, committed to natural, empowering ideals. If you're new to essential oils or a seasoned expert, you'll recognize the superior quality of doTERRA certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils with your first experience. Call 970-493-6789. That's 970-493-6789 or RockyMountainEssentialOil.com. That's RockyMountainEssentialOil.com.
Just a good old boy.
Hi, I'm Eric Cederstrup. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group. And in that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country. Most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Making their way, the only way they know how.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Hey everybody, this is Maggie and you're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. And if you'd like to call into the show, 877-254-7524 is the number, 877-254-7524. And if you'd like to contact me, my website is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com, theunsolicitedopinion.com. I am speaking today with Preston Fleming, and he is the author of 40 Days at Kamas, as well as some other books. Preston, when we went to break, you were talking about the five stages to tyranny. So name those, if you would, please, because I know you said you believe that we were in the third stage. But give us an idea of what you believe the five stages to tyranny are.
Yes, you know, having spent a number of years in the Middle East and having studied history, having been both in business and the law, I've got an MBA in both and a law degree. I also spent some time in the Russian Far East doing business after the fall of the Soviet Union. So I kind of made a study of how repressive societies repress their citizens. Also, this history, how tyrannies come into being in the modern age, and so I sort of formed some ideas about based on studies of these things, of what could happen in America. And so the stages that I've identified are, the first one is concentration of power. And that's what we were talking about before the break. We, of course, have big government, big media, big finance, big academia, you name it. We're at the end of this consolidation cycle. The second stage is the corruption stage or abuse of power stage. I think we've already seen a number of those things, and you've talked about some of them, how once we have this concentration, people are at the mercy of those powers, and they have less and less free range for their activities. And we can talk about that additionally in the future. The third stage is where we are now, I believe, and that's the stage of polarization, where people wake up from their stupor, they start seeing that they're like the frog being boiled, you know, in the warm pan of water, and they start resisting. And that's where you see symptoms like the Wisconsin standoff in the legislature, and also the Tea Party movement, where people who otherwise wouldn't have been involved in politics because they're busy running their own lives and raising their families are now saying, we can't run our lives and run our businesses with the government interfering and taking our hard-earned earnings. We have to stand up and correct this. Now, the fourth stage is crisis, and that could happen from any number of events, each of which is very unlikely, but there are so many of which it's quite likely that one of these deal-breaker events could happen. It could be something like a natural disaster, like the tsunami or the earthquake that devastated Japan. It could be, you know, volcanoes or a solar flare that knocks out our electrical grid. It could be, of course, a terrorist attack or a foreign attack like an EMP weapon, that's an electromagnetic pulse weapon, which Iran has actually already tested in the Caspian Sea, or it could be a cyber attack like what the Chinese are actually capable of doing by knocking out our power grid. And many people have studied that and have talked about it. I'm not an expert in it, but I'm aware of this as a risk. Or it could be an epidemic or some other man-made event like a war or what conspiracy theorists would say a false flag attack, something that's designed to allow the government to crack down. Now, the fifth stage is the conflict stage. That's where after you have hardship driven by a crisis, let's say an economic collapse where there's a lot of unemployment or hyperinflation or riots in the streets because people don't have all the food they're looking for, the trucks have stopped arriving at Walmart, once you have a crisis, then it's a winner-take-all game, and the faction that has the greatest power, I shouldn't say power at that point, but the greatest determination and greatest ruthlessness and best organization, just as the Nazis won in the streets in the 1930s and the Bolsheviks won against their many competitors in the teens in the Russian Revolution, when that faction wins, it's a question of whether that's a tyranny or that's essentially a reform group. And throughout history, usually it's the tyrannies, either from the left or the right. You could have an oligarchy, essentially a right-wing junta running the country, which isn't good if you're a dissenter either. Or you could have a totalitarian leftist regime, which is not good if you're a dissenter in any case. So regardless of which tyrannical faction wins, those of us who want freedom have got a problem. But the consequences of the left and the right dictatorship are somewhat different. But the point we're trying to make here is that once you get into that crisis stage where there's something that makes the American prosperity into American hardship, then any population is capable of going to extremes, following someone who gives them great promises or following a leader who leads them to violence because they don't have food on the table. So right now I think we're in the polarization stage, but we, I think, are one crisis away from a potential conflict. And that could take it could lead from, let's say, to secession from the Union, to a civil war or two, and then a conflict, or it could be any number of intermediate events. But I'm now very careful, or let's say concerned, that we could have some unexpected event which no one is really seeing on the horizon that could lead us to crisis, and then we'll be watching out to see whether we have tyranny or democracy.
Well, you mentioned one of the examples of conflict and economic collapse, which would
drive, of course, people to their knees, and I think that when people are on their knees and they're begging, hands outstretched, palms upward, more porridge, please, they're going to be willing to acquiesce to any kind of demands and do anything they can to get a morsel of food. And they'll go along with anything, won't they, the majority of them?
Well, we probably remember Benjamin Franklin's statement that anyone who would trade liberty for security deserves neither and will lose both. I think that we Americans are tough people, and we're very self-reliant, especially in the countryside, you know, away from the large cities. So I don't think Americans are going to, at least by and large, are not going to easily fall prey to this. But there are a number of people who are very dependent on just-in-time deliveries of transfer payments and of this, big, let's say, over-concentration of power. And they, I think, would have their hands out and would go along with the demagogues' promises.
Well,
many people would not.
You know what? I honestly think, Preston, look, for example, at the union activity, and maybe you saw, I just saw this morning, about the University of Missouri at St. Louis. They're teaching a couple of labor study courses, and one of the people teaching them is, I think he's the executive director of the International Union of Operating Engineers, and he's an avowed communist, and he and this professor, of course, this is taxpayer-funded university, and they're teaching the tactics of fear and intimidation. They're teaching industrial sabotage to these students. And a couple of the comments that they made was fascism absolutely beats capitalism. Group goals more important than individual goals, which is certainly the opposite of individual liberties that this country was based upon. Operating engineer, this union head, who talks about how he incited riots that destroyed several police cars, and he talks about how they used a cat to short out electricity at a plant in Peru. So, I mean, obviously they're not above abusing animals, they're not above destroying property, and this is what's happening. So when you think that most of America... Hang on, Preston. We've got to go to break, and I'll finish that
certainly
when we come back. So hang on, everybody. This is The Unsolicited Opinion. My name is Maggie, and we will be right back in about a minute or two.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Whether you already know essential oils are valued for their ancient wisdom and wellness, or you're considering their use as a viable, non-toxic, healthy alternative, your question should be the same. Are all essential oils certified pure therapeutic grade? Who makes the highest quality essential oils available? Do all tests for safety and meet rigorous standards? Can all oils pass the scrutiny of health professionals and scientists? Many essential oils don't meet these standards, so ask one more question. Where can I find the most powerful, reasonably priced, certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils? doTERRA, gift of the earth. doTERRA, committed to natural, empowering ideals. If you're new to essential oils or a seasoned expert, you'll recognize the superior quality of doTERRA certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils with your first experience. Call 970-493-6789. That's 970-493-6789 or RockyMountainEssentialOil.com. That's RockyMountainEssentialOil.com.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Hey everybody, this is Maggie, and you're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. And the number, if you'd like to call into the show, 877-254-7524. And if you'd like to contact me, my website is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. And if you'd like to advertise on this radio show, then all you need to do is contact me, and I will hook you up with the people at KHNC who can make that happen. So when we were going to break, Preston, I was commenting about these labor studies courses being offered at the University of Missouri and how they're teaching the kids to essentially incite riot and means justify the end. And, you know, it's incredible to me that you see these things happening, but this isn't unique. This just happened to be caught on videotape so that it could be exposed to the public, but this is not unique. I believe these types of things are being taught to kids all across the country, because if you ask kids who got out of high school and got out of college whether they consider themselves a citizen of the United States, they more than 50% of them consider themselves a citizen of the globe. So these our so-called educators have successfully severed the connection between the students, the children of this country, the youth of this country, and an allegiance to the sovereignty of the United States. So I think we're looking at a big problem. Unfortunately, we can't all live out in rural areas where people have maybe have a greater sense of allegiance to this country and are more self-reliant. But because I certainly don't. I live in a highly populated area. I'm outside of Philadelphia.
Well, yes, and I live outside of Boston. And I think in the case, if we had an economic disruption, I would not be very sanguine living here, because there could well be food riots and civil unrest in concentrated areas like Philadelphia and Boston. But I think that what I tried to show in my fiction basically is to help people understand the kind of choices they would have to make if we reach that stage. And God help us if we do reach that stage. But I think it's now is reaching the likelihood that this polarization stage will lead to a crisis. And at that point, people, regardless of where they live, are going to have to make choices. And I lived, Maggie, I lived in Beirut for 2 years during the Civil War, and I watched people make those kinds of choices. The people who had families, particularly elderly dependents or children, you know, once they drove by that first car bomb, or once they had their first neighbor kidnapped, they had to do some really quick thinking. Do I want to put my family at risk like that, or do I want to get out of the country? And so many of those folks left for Australia or France or the U.S. or somewhere else, and some of them came back when things got calmer in Beirut. But these were the most educated people with the most choices, the most means of, let's say, making those choices. And in my book, the 40 Days of Camus, chapter 2 is a flashback where Paul Wagner, the protagonist, is living in his house in the yard, doing some yard work in the fall with his wife and his two young daughters. And their lawyer comes to tell them, Paul, you have a choice here. You can sell your company. There's a European company willing to buy it for a very small price, but at least you'll have something. And you can take that money and you can start over somewhere else. Or you can stay here, but I advise you, if you stay here, that the government's likely to take that business from you, and you may wind up, if you oppose that, you may end up in one of those camps they're setting up out west. And so he and his wife have this discussion, and he says, well, you know, I've got, you know, a family to support. I really should leave. And his wife says, well, yes, but our families have been here for generations, and you've always gotten through hardship. Why not stick it out? You know, these folks in Washington won't be there forever. Well, that's a flashback. And in fact, the whole book is about Paul Wagner in this camp in Utah, which is more like a gulag camp than it is like a FEMA camp. And his wife and children also end up in government custody. So these kinds of choices, they seem un-American, but remember, our ancestors came here for two reasons largely. They were fleeing tyranny, and they came here for cheap land. So I don't think they can blame us if the cheap land is elsewhere and we have tyranny here and we have to flee.
Well, I certainly hope that your book doesn't come true, Preston, but I don't know. I'm doing this radio show because I want to draw attention to the things that are happening out here in this country, and my goal is to hopefully have somebody hear my voice, hear the voice of my guests, and have them awaken to what it is that's going on around them, because I think most people, Preston, don't have any idea of what's going on. I don't think very many people really today, because of our educational system, has been deliberately dumbing down the populace. We don't have people today who have a true sense of who they are as an American and how lucky they are to be an American and why this country has offered and been the land of opportunity for as long as it has been and what has been so unique. I think they just take things for granted and they really don't think that it means much at all. And I think that's a real big problem, and I think that makes it so much easier for despots to take control.
I agree with you. I think that our education has been dumbed down. They have stopped teaching the American values of the American Revolution in our schools, and so there's a great deal that's been lost. In my second book, the Star Chamber Brotherhood, which is set in Boston, I make some references to the consequences of this trend. That book is set in 2029, after the Camas Revolt. But here in Boston, we have this thing called Patriots Day, which is on the night of, where it's basically for a couple of days in early April. They have a reenactment of the Battle of Concord and Lexington and Bunker Hill and Paul Revere's Ride. And these are set in national monuments around those places of our heritage, and people flock to these reenactments every year. But in the future America, in my book, essentially the plaques have been torn down in Concord, Mass. Emerson's house has been burned down. People aren't allowed to go to these sites. The heritage of American freedom and resistance to tyranny has been obliterated in the textbooks. The people who want power don't want us to be independent as individuals. So that is one of these things that if you, through fiction, you can see that future, kind of like the It's a Wonderful Life, when Jimmy Stewart has that alternate life that he's shown, what would happen if. Through fiction, you can help people make those choices and come to their senses. We could be, as you and I, as talking heads, could be talking all day, and it wouldn't make the same impact as one good book of fiction. Before the Civil War, Uncle Tom's Cabin woke up millions of Americans to what slavery was about. Regardless of, you know, whether the book was accurate or not, it was a lightning rod for people to learn more about slavery. Today, we don't have enough of those books, partly because the establishment media doesn't understand them and doesn't like them.
Preston, hang on, because we've got to go to another break, and we'll be right back. Listen, everybody, this is The Unsolicited Opinion. My name is Maggie, and we will be right back.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found BioSuperfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural BioSuperfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116. An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
CINN stations in Alt salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comfort of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine, point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from CINN stations in Alt, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and their sacrifices. Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
Hey everybody, this is Maggie and you're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. And if you'd like to get in contact with me, my website is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. So Preston, we've only got a couple of minutes left. You know, I was looking at something and And one of the questions you had sent some suggestions for questions to me, and one of the questions that you had sent was, in your book, does the president for life come from the left or the right? And I personally don't think. I think as you go far enough right, you hit the left anyway. It really doesn't make any difference. And if I recall correctly, wasn't Hitler supposed to be someone from the right? Wasn't he considered on the right at that time, the way communism and fascism and Marxism and Nazism went, if you looked on a continuum of who was what?
Well, now we've got such a revisionist view of history out there. I agree with your first premise that essentially once the government teams up with big business, essentially that's the textbook definition of fascism, but they can put themselves under a pink light to be left or blue light to be right. It's whether it's an oligarchy or a cabal of totalitarians, the outcome is the same. You have the state
exactly.
And a few big businesses run by cronies running. You know, Putin's essentially what you see if you have an oligarchy in power.
Yeah.
Maggie, may I mention where my books are available?
Yes,
before we
yes, please do. I wanted to mention that anyway, Preston, so people could buy your book. Go ahead.
Certainly, I've got a website, PrestonFleming.com, Fleming with one M. Also, they're available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Sony Bookstore, the Apple iBookstore, and so on. You can either search under Camus or search under Preston Fleming, and it'll lead you
Preston, there's going to be a link on my website to your website, PrestonFleming.com. I will link up there, and a podcast of this show will be up by tonight anyway, so that, you know, if you want to direct people to listen to the podcast, and I will direct people to your website so that they can purchase your book, because it sounds very interesting. I didn't get to read the whole thing. I know you sent it to me, Preston, and I apologize. I haven't been able to read the whole thing yet, but I intend to do so because it's a very interesting story to me, and I'm very interested in this kind of fictional stuff because, unfortunately, I think it borders too much on reality, and I'd rather have it just be pure fiction and, you know, never come to pass, but then history does repeat itself, doesn't it?
Well, Maggie, my greatest fear over the last 10 years since I wrote this book is that it would become true before it got published, so I had to really hurry up and get it out there. So I put it out at a very modest price, and the people who have reviewed it on Amazon have said good things about it. So if you're interested, go to Amazon, look up 40 Days at Camus or Star Chamber Brotherhood, read the reviews, and buy it from any of those outlets, and I think you'll have a great read. It reads very quickly.
Well, I did start to read it. I haven't finished the entire thing. I've gotten about halfway through it, and it is a very good. It is a very good book. It's very well written, and I have to agree with you when you were talking about Uncle Tom's Cabin. But you know, one of the things that came to my mind, Preston, and I know we've only got another minute or so, is the fact that how they are censoring books today, and they are rewriting the books because, for example, wasn't it Huck Finn that they just deleted one of the words out of there? I'm going to say the N word. I believe it was Huckleberry Finn because they don't want people to read what the author had written at the time, and I think that is they do such an injustice to people when they take words out of books and they rewrite them because they're so concerned with political correctness. They do more damage with that than they do any good.
It's funny, I when I was a teenager, one of my favorite series of books was the Fu Manchu series by Sax Rohmer, and now that's hardly available anywhere because it's so politically incorrect, although it's a rollicking adventure, but today it would be unacceptable from a politically correct point of view.
Yeah, and see, people don't... Well, listen, Preston, we're out of time.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining me. PrestonFleming.com is his website. Hey, everybody, take it easy. Better days are coming. I'll be back tomorrow, so keep your chin up. See you later, everybody. Tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Mountain, I'll be back.
Really? You know what Miss Gus said she was going to do to Toto? She says she
now,
was going to...
Now, Dorothy, dear, stop imagining things. You always get yourself into a fret over nothing. Now, you just help us out today and find yourself a place where you won't get into any trouble.
Some place where there isn't any trouble. Do you suppose there is such a place, Toto? There must be. It's not a place you can get to by a boat or a train. It's far, far away. Behind the moon, beyond the rain,
somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a Away above the chimney tops, that's where you